Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a Patreon at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Robbie.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Yo, I'm okay, man.
Good. Yeah. Good. You've got your Toronto Blue Jays hat on.
I got my Tom and Harry Delta Flyers rocket shirt on. What t-shirt are you wearing underneath there?
This is just a plain Deus Ex Machina plain.
Oh, okay.
Plain so, shirt. It's a motorcycle. Deus Ex Machina is the motorcycle company.
Yeah.
It started in Australia. They're a phenomenal kind of motorcycle lifestyle company and build original bikes. I love the company. Anyway, they make a great quality t-shirt that's just plain.
Right.
That I have. And then I have my Georgia Bulldogs hat on.
I see that. And you've got a flannel shirt on top of that. Mm-hmm.
I got my Canadian flannel shirt.
Yeah.
Yes, my lumberjack shirt on in honor of your Toronto Blue Jays. So we both have a little Canada.
We do have a little Canada, but you don't have any Delta Flyers on right now.
I don't right now.
I don't know. Maybe I have to.
I'm going to have to go to the shop. I'm going to have to do some shopping. I need to go to the website.
Yeah.
TheDeltaFlyers.org.
Yes.org.
And check out all the t-shirts and hats and mugs and cool stuff.
Yeah. You might have to go to the site yourself to get more clothes.
Yes, and get kitted out. We've hit a run of some interesting stuff this season. Season four has been really exciting. So.
We really have. We've had some awesome guest stars, and we've had some episodes that neither of us have remembered anything about. And then we actually have watched it and thought, oh, that happened. My goodness. So yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah.
And traditionally in the Star Trek world, it's usually season four that everything starts clicking, whether it's TNG or DS9 or Voyager. I think it's the same. It's the fourth season that's the magical season where everyone gets used to each other and techno babble and green screen, blue screen, whatever. It's now where you see the magic of Star Trek.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
All right. This week's episode, Demon. I am very excited to go watch.
Very provocative title.
It's a great title. And
sounds like it should be a Halloween episode.
It should be.
Yeah.
But it's not Halloween.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Demon. All right. Okay.
All right. Let's go watch this episode. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Hey, y'all. We are back from watching Demon.
Yes, we are.
Demon.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't remember any of that.
I know. It's, you know, it's okay. I'm not going to hold it against you. There were moments
that came back to me, but I got to be honest. I was right. You and I were in the caves with the suits on. We were in the caves. We were in and out of the caves.
So you were right about that. We were in and out of the caves.
I do remember being in the caves with you and around the caves doing some stuff with the suit on.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember the story. And the only other thing that I really remember was that one moment where I sort of begged Janeway for my life as the fake Paris. That was the only other thing as I watched it that came back.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And the other thing I remembered as I watched it was that first scene of you and I heading down the hallway for the away team mission, where we're bantering,
the walk
back and
talk,
forth.
Yeah, the corridor.
I remember looping that entire scene, and I remember going, "Oh my god, we got to loop every line.
Yeah.
Like, why?"
Yeah,
and then I'm listening, I'm watching it. The looping just took all the fun out of it.
No, I got to be honest with you that we looped so much that I think it took away from the true essence of this, because I believe. And you probably will believe me, you'll probably agree with me on this, in that the first take, the take on set, it's the best you can do, you know, pretty much. And then you come back 4 weeks later to lay down voiceover, to loop a bunch of lines, which are maybe possibly compromised, or they just end up saying, just let them loop everything. It just, it's not the same.
No, it's not, the same, especially in the bantery stuff and the kind of teasing each other. And like, we need to be there with each other. And when you loop, you're alone. You're by yourself in a recording studio watching a movie.
Yeah.
So there's none of that chemistry. So yeah, that first scene down the hall, and then they added footsteps in. So I'm like, if it was footsteps or something that you were trying to cover, why not just leave in the stuff that was really there?
Was used. Exactly. Yeah. Do you think those audio files are there? The original audio files are still somewhere?
Probably not.
I bet you if they released those, that would be a popular thing with the fans. They'd be like, this is the original audio. This is how they actually recorded it. Yeah. This is how they were on the day of filming, not weeks later when they're not even in the same mode or mood, you know, and, you, and then you have to remember like, wait, what is this about? Like, and you're trying to get the same level of acting, the same level of being present in the moment. It's not there. It's like a sequel of a movie. It's never as good as the original. So that's what it is. It's a subpar audio or voiceover performance that come way later. So and you're right. When you said that you were shocked that we had to loop every single line of that corridor, that happened not just once, but a lot, because we would walk in and you remember this, Robbie, they'd say, oh yeah, Robbie, or, oh, hey, Garrett. Yeah. That's 4 hours of lines, 4 hours worth of looping. I mean, it was never like into the loop. We'd never go in to loop two lines and leave. It was always hours upon hours sitting there regurgitating these lines as best we could to match the day of filming. So too much.
Yeah, I agree.
Great story though. Great sci-fi story by Andre Bormanis. He got it sold. They purchased it. Andre, of course, is our science consultant. Teleplay by Ken Biller, directed by one of our faves, Anson Williams, Potsy from Happy Days. And the only guest star of note is Alexander Emberg, who is Jerry Taylor's son and plays Vorik. So we don't really need to go to his background.
Yeah, we've talked about Alex.
Talked about Alex already.
It was great to see him again.
Yeah, it's good to see him again.
That was really awesome.
For sure. Yeah. All right, let's start with our poetry synopsis.
Let's do.
Here's the haiku for Demon. Need deuterium. Demon planet has a bunch. Duplicates survive.
Whoa, you nailed it.
Thanks, man.
You nailed it.
Oh, I tried my best. I tried.
Demon planet has a bunch. That's funny.
It was either that or has a lot. Has a lot or has a bunch. Bunch is kind of fun.
Bunch is much funnier than lots.
Yes.
Okay. Here's our limerick poetry synopsis of Demon.
I can't wait.
Harry volunteers Tom after Tom volunteered Harry. When they go to the planet, things become quite scary. Tom and Harry times two. The crew grows by quite a few, and the duplicates are left just standing on the Demon Prairie.
Oh, whoo, bravo.
Yeah,
thank you. Prairie at the end? Look at that.
Harry Scary Prairie.
Look at that. Yeah. Man, that was rootin' tootin' good. I like that.
It was rootin' tootin' good, wasn't it?
Okay. Thank you. Let's start it off. Where are we? We're in corridor. Well, we see the corridor, and then we see sick bay, and then we see engineering. And power is cut to decks 4 through 9. We're in gray mode. Although I just want to quickly mention, when you see engineering, you see B'Elanna and you see Vorik, right? And they're walking along. You know, when the warp core shuts down or the power shuts down engineering, B'Elanna kind of reacts like she doesn't know what's going on. She's like, wait a minute. She goes over to the console and starts fidgeting around. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is like a ship-wide order. Everyone knows we're doing this.
I thought our ship was losing power. Like we were literally surprised how it feels at first. And then when you go to the bridge, you realize that the captain has asked for, you know, we're running out of deuterium. Deuterium's low. Paris says we're going to be out of gas in a week. Like everybody's aware of this. So you're right. It was a little confusing
Confusing.
You know, Roxanne's scenes might have been shot later, like after the fact. They may not have shot them because she might have still been at home.
That's true.
Just having a baby. And so they may have come back and shot them later on.
Second unit, maybe?
A second unit or something. Yeah. And maybe they, you know, I don't even know if Anson Williams, sometimes the directors don't shoot the second unit. It might be Dan Curry or somebody else directing it. So that could have been part of the problem there. That might have been part of it.
Is I think they you called it. I think you called it. Yeah. So gray mode.
Harry says we're in gray mode.
Have we ever been in gray mode?
I don't think so. This is the first time that I'm aware of. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. So this is the equivalent of on your iPhone, low power mode when you're really down to the last little bits of energy. So all non-essential systems offline. You name it, everything's being shut down. Everything's running at 20% capacity. Mm-hmm. We really need deuterium. Janeway says, you know what? She comes up to Harry Station and says, Harry, you and I are going to go to geophysics and we're going to try to help synthesize a substitute fuel. Like, this is like some easy process. Yeah, we're just going to come up with some fake
brand
fuel.
New deuterium. Brand new no one's ever tried that before.
Brand new deuterium is what we need.
She also says when she's on the bridge there, she turns back to the bridge in a close-up. She kind of turns and she says, anybody got any good ideas?
Yeah.
And then as she finishes that line, she sort of looks off camera and she does this sort of like squint. And I had to go back and look at it again. I'm like, what is she doing there?
What's she looking at?
I bet Tim or Robert were goofing off camera when she was doing her close up.
Yeah.
You know, anybody got any good ideas?
Yeah.
And who knows what Tim or Robert did off camera, but you see a surprise sort of, oh my God, look.
Right.
That over sounds... towards them, not towards Paris, who has the next line.
Right.
Where he suggests maybe we should set up a bicycle in the mess hall. We can take turns pedaling and offers up Harry. And I volunteer Harry to be the first one to take a ride.
You just offer me up like a sacrificial lamb. It's Harry.
It taking a shot at your buddy leads to all of this trouble. If I just kept my mouth shut and not been such a smart ass, I don't think any of this would have been.
That's how it started. How it started. That's right.
Paris taking a shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when Paris took a shot, Harry felt like, well, if he's going to volunteer me, I'm going to volunteer him. So it became this buddy one-upmanship.
Back and forth. That's what led to this whole problem. I'm telling you, don't take shots at your buddies.
Yes. All right. Okay. It'll take us into the next scene. We're in the corridor now.
We're in the corridor. Tuvok is evacuating the crew from their private quarters to try to save energy to shut down life support systems in those private quarters.
Yeah.
And he runs around a corner. He's telling the crew only essentials. And then he bumps into Neelix. I don't know if it was an ad lib or whatever, but Ethan Phillips goes, oh my, or something that as he falls down.
Whatever he said, that sounded like an ad lib. It didn't sound like it
sounded like an ad lib.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, there you are or something. Yeah. I forget what he did, but it was funny. It made me laugh.
Very funny.
Anyway, he's getting up and Tuvok's like, what is all of this? He's got his hands full of stuff.
Yes.
After he's just said only essentials.
Right.
And the first thing he deals with is this oddly shaped book, like an old book, but it's sort of in a puzzle piece shape.
Trapezoidal shape.
Yeah. And Neelix says, well, this is the selected works of Jirex, who I guess was the greatest Talaxian writer.
Yeah.
And he loves to read a parable every night before he goes to sleep.
Yes.
Which I thought was adorable.
So you wrote Jirex. You heard Jirex with a J. I heard Cheerex, like Cheerios, the cereal. Jirex. Yeah, Cheerex. But maybe you're right. I don't know. Half the time that we hear a name of any type of alien somebody, it's so hard to make out.
Yeah, the phonetics of it all. Okay.
Okay.
That's the greatest Talaxian. We should know. Because he's
the
greatest Talaxian writer of all time. And then he's also got pillows with him. Yeah. So he gets neck pains if he doesn't have his pillows.
Right.
And he's got a blanket at the end, and Tuvok keeps taking these items. And then he's like, I draw the line at this blanket. He draws the line. He's like, my mom knitted me this blanket when I was a kid, and I've slept with it every night of my life.
Right.
Which is adorable.
It's adorable, but you know, I know what you wished he would have had. You wished he would have had that really cool jacket with him and said, yeah, this is what I sleep in. Not in the blanket knitted by my mommy, but this jacket is what I slept in.
Yeah,
but the funny thing is, Tuvok is kind of you know, verbally fencing with him, saying, "Oh, the pillows? Well, you need an anti-inflammatory from the doctor." And then the blankets he's saying are itchy. And then he goes, "Oh, let me guess, you want me to go get an anti-itch cream?" So he's really fighting him tooth and nail. And finally,
yes,
you know, he gets the idea. Oh, I have an idea.
He goes, sick bay. Good sick idea. Bay.
Yeah.
Yes. We know what he's going to do. He's going to go.
Do.
We get in a sense. Do. He's going to go try to sleep in sick bay where he can have his pillows and his blankets and be comfy.
Yeah.
But before we follow that story, we go to Astrometrics and Seven's working away and Chakotay enters. Very cool kind of high angle shot, which we don't normally see in there. I thought it was cool.
I agree.
He says, "Why are you even still working? You know, captain's ordered to shut down all power." And I noticed in this big high wide shot that why is Chakotay standing inches away? It's more close acting on Star Trek Voyager, where people stand way too close to each other, the whole room, and he's like up against Seven.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really close. You're right.
Close standing.
Yeah, and Astrometrics is considered non-essential. So he says, mm-hmm. you know, this should be shut down. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you hear a little notifications symbol or sound, and Seven mm-hmm. walks over to the console and she's like, "Well, with the Astrometrics turned off, we wouldn't have found this 0.4 light years away. There is mm-hmm. a planet that has deuterium, but unfortunately, it is a demon class planet or a Y class planet mm-hmm. where the surface temperature is more than 500 degrees Kelvin. The atmosphere is toxic, filled with thermionic radiation and gases. It's just, you know, it's not a place that humans can really
Chakotay flourish." Even says in this scene, because Seven's like, "What are you talking about?" So he has to explain what it is. And he even says, "A demon class planet is so toxic that just entering orbit is suicide."
Yeah.
And she goes, "But we're desperate, so we need to go get this deuterium."
Yeah.
But I just got to say, if just entering orbit is suicide, why did Tom and Harry go down in a shuttle? Why did they land the entire Voyager ship? Why?
Because they needed it.
Yeah, just but like, orbit is suicide. Like, yeah. I don't know.
You're right.
I wish he hadn't said that. He should have said that.
He should have said entering orbit is highly
dangerous.
We're inviting the level of danger is too high or something like
it
that.
It felt like an extreme statement for where we're going in this story.
It did.
But we are desperate. We go to a ship shot next with a Janeway's log over. And she says she's ordered adaptations to the Voyager shielding to repel this radiation. And they're going to try and transport some of this deuterium from deep beneath the planet's surface. So we know that they're headed there.
Yeah.
And then we go to the transporter room, and Seven's got a little chamber on the transporter pad. She's ready to go.
And you think it's Harry up there, but no, that is not Harry. That is John Tampoya.
John Tampoya.
Yes.
Who we learn his character name later on is Nozawa.
Unbelievable. I have a whole video reaction on this.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, he's got a name, Nozawa.
I always remember Nozawa being a female. There was an Asian female background character that I thought for sure her name was Nozawa. So that's why I'm a little confused. I'm like, what?
Well, Janeway or whoever refers to Chakotay later on. Chakotay talks about them later on. But here we're about to try and transport some of this deuterium, and the transport starts. And by the way, we cut to the bridge and Janeway's like, "This is dangerous just being in orbit because the thing is shaking, the radiation's hitting the ship. We got to do this fast." We cut back to the transporter room. Mm-hmm. They start the transport. A panel explodes behind Nozawa.
Yes.
John Tampoya.
Yeah, there's an overload in the pattern buffers is what it is.
But there's an explosion, and then we see the containment chamber start to fill up, mm-hmm. and then it explodes, a big explosion, and Seven barely makes it out in time. She grabs John Tampoya, a.k.a. Ensign Nozawa, and runs out into the hall, and the explosion blows up outside, and they have to put a containment barrier around the entire transporter room. But Seven and John Tampoya, a.k.a. Ensign Nozawa, are fine.
Did you feel like Seven was a little gruff with John Tampoya? She helps him out, and she just drops him like a sack of potatoes right outside the door. She doesn't.
Poor John Tampoya.
Here, you're fine now. I'm not going to care anymore. And she just doesn't even turn back to him again. So.
Okay. Yeah, she has no feelings. She's not sentimental.
She's so cold.
I know. We go to the briefing room, and Chakotay does tell us Seven and Nozawa are okay.
Yes,
they're right. healing in sickbay, and that the transporter room has been cleared.
Yeah.
And it's safe, but it's not working. We can't transport anything. What are we going to do? Right?
Yeah. Janeway says, well, I guess that's it. Let's just get back on our course, stay in gray mode, and let's see if we can find more deuterium. And Harry says, well, wait a minute. I'm going to suggest taking a shuttle with modifications down to the surface. And I'm going, and Janeway is like, well, okay, but if you do this, you know, Tuvok says something to Harry about, well, you do know what a demon class planet it is. And Harry's like, yeah, I know. Okay, Tuvok, I know about demon class planets. And Janeway says, well, if I approve this, I am not going to let you go alone. And Harry says, well, that's why I volunteer my good friend, Tommy. And the look on your face was the best.
And you turn around
best.
And you hit me on the chest, which is what I used to do to you all the time in real life.
Yes.
So I go, hey, buddy. And I bonk you on the chest. Yeah. And you'd be like, ow.
Yes.
Why
are
you hitting me?
Yes. Robbie used to bonk me on the chest. So I bonked Robbie in real life on the show as he did in real life. So I gave you, and you, oh, your reaction was perfect. You look, you're shocked, and your mouth opens and it drops, your chin drops. And I that was one of the best, funniest scenes from you.
It was funny.
Without even saying a thing. There was nonverbal, but just that reaction was the best. I love that scene.
It was good. It was good. Yeah, Harry's standing up. He's stepping up and pitching his ideas and volunteering. And so we cut to the hall, and this is the loop scene that we were talking about.
This is the loop scene.
A long loop scene.
It's a great scene, though. Great dialogue. Scene.
I just wish we had used the original, because I feel like the spark was taken out of it.
Yeah, agreed.
But Paris asks, Harry, are you bucking for a promotion? And I definitely felt like Harry had a chip on his shoulder a bit. Like, I gotta prove myself here.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of a chip standing up for himself.
You were surprised at how assertive Harry was, right? Mm-hmm. And then you even mentioned that you even put Tuvok in his place, which was great. Love that. Yeah. And just the whole banter back and forth. Up until this point, Harry and Tom have had banter, but I feel like this episode was the most banter or bonding, the most bonding banter for Tom and Harry so far in the entire series.
Yeah, it was the most character dialogue, not plot dialogue, but it was about character, about relationship, and it was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get inside the turbo lift, and Harry really kind of opens up here, and he says, you know, a lot has happened, and he's experienced a lot of things, and he wants to take initiative, voice his own ideas, and I love Tom's line in there. Part of the banter, Tom says, hey, do me a favor. Next time you try to assert yourself, Harry, leave me out of it. I hate hot weather.
Yeah, that's good line. Yeah. That actually happens as we're exiting the turbo lift after Harry waxes poetic about the past 4 years. Harry said, my sense of humor. What about that stupid gag about the bicycle? Which I was like, wait a minute. I was so excited to hear that line, because hearing the bicycle thing in the beginning scene in the bridge, I thought, oh, that's such a goofy joke, kind of a dad joke, you know. And then the writers actually, you know, they address it, and Harry gets to say, what about that stupid gag about the bicycle? And Tom is like, oh, I thought it was funny. And again, more cool banter between Tom and Harry.
Yeah.
And now they're in the shuttle, and the banter continues. It doesn't stop, which is great, you know. More stuff, more bonding.
I also like the fact that we were sweating, like the playing the heat of the M-class planet, the demon planet, as we enter the atmosphere. It's obviously super hot.
Yeah.
And it was like sweating, like rolling down our faces. And I remember when they used to do this to us. I remember Tina, my makeup artist, would always come over with the Evian, and she'd hey, ready? Are we rolling? She'd wait for rolling. And then she'd spray it on, because it evaporates. So
very quickly.
You have to spray it on right at the last second.
Right before.
And it's like tickly, that stuff. Like you spray, it's the misting, right?
Yeah.
And then she'd mist it. And then she'd take a little tissue or something and like dab, like have to make the sweat just perfect, right? Right as they're rolling. I just had flashbacks to that in the scene.
Oh, yeah.
And but the banter was great.
Yeah, the banter's really good. And then, you know, Tom gets the last laugh, because as he lands the shuttle, he says, about to land, on my mark. And then we hit hard.
We hit
and
hard.
Then he says, mark.
Mark.
And I said, you did that on purpose, didn't you? So it was really another wonderful Tom and Harry scene.
Yeah,
so,
Ken Diller did a nice job of the kind of bro scorekeeping banter, you know, that goes back and forth between
the guys. He really did. Did a nice job. Yeah, good job by Ken.
So now we're on the planet's surface, and we are in the caves. I wrote, yes, there we are. We're kind of going through the caves.
And the banter continues.
By the way, I love that backdrop, the red sort of planet sky. I remembered when we were filming on that set that I just thought it looked really cool. It looked like a big sci-fi show with that, whatever they rented, the backdrop of the sky and the color of it. And it was just a nice adaptation of our cave set. I think we do say that it's 500 degrees Kelvin on the surface, which I'm like,
you're concerned about. Yeah. Cause I'm like, don't worry, these environmental suits, they can handle it. And you're like, well, if they don't, we're going to be human barbecue. Right. And then you have that wonderful line. I said, well, let's go ahead. Let's go this way. And you're like, no sweat. And then I
let's move, no sweat.
And I go, lame. And come on, this is the most conversational and also slangy that we've ever been. Yeah. Like to say lame. You know, lame is not something you typically hear.
No.
So to for Ken Biller to get this dialogue in there was fabulous. And was just so excited to see that. And speaking of the backdrop, how you enjoyed how amazing it looked. That's why I chose this red background here too.
Nice.
That's why this redness is.
It's kind of the M-class planet.
For those of you who are able to view this.
Okay. And that's why I chose the Voyager is approaching the red background.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, yeah. You are flying towards it. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. We come across that silvery pool of liquid, just like I said. What I don't remember is what happened next. I thought I just touched it, but Harry says to Tom, hey, check on the other pool. There's another pool very close by. You go check on that one. I'll work on getting a sample from this one. So as you walk away, the banter continues. Your lines I wrote down are, a couple of lounge chairs, a big beach umbrella, dermaplast to counteract the chemical burns. I think we found a new vacation spot. And then you're like, Harry? And no response. Paris goes back to the pool of liquid where he left Harry and realizes Harry's gone. Then he looks down, there's some bubbling action on the surface of the liquid, and he realizes, oh no, he's inside.
Liquid. So let's pause. I want to pause right there for a second. So when we first come upon this pool of liquid, I love the set. I love the backdrop. I love the way they adapted it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, the edge of this pool of liquid looked like a set. It just looked like, like they had sawn is not a word, I don't think. They had sawed some wood and like cut it together. It just didn't look organic. It looked very structural in the way a set looks.
Yeah.
Now, it first sort of grabbed my attention when we saw this pool and it looked like a set. And then when I come back and I look down at the bubbles, I do know I did a little research about this liquid and stuff.
Oh, you did? Good.
Yes. So when they have the tight shot of the bubbles, that's a different set. That's not, they did that on an insert day,
separate unit.
And if you look at the way the edge of that pool looks in the wide shot, when you and I are standing there, and then the insert of when I sort of reach in and grab you,
and pull me out,
it's different sets. And the insert set was much better. It didn't have those sharp hard edges. It actually looked a little more organic, and it doesn't match. So it's close, but it doesn't match the wide shot. And the other thing I found out is you and I did not do that insert today. This was doubles inside of our suits.
Oh.
And there was no metallic liquid because it would ruin the suit. So they had to shoot kind of separate elements of someone in a hole coming out of a dry hole. And then they had to put something in to get the liquid. And then they did VisFX. It was a much more complicated thing. And no one was ever wet is the point. No one ever got into any kind of goo. That was all done with VisFX.
Well, thank you.
But the matching of that little pool, to me, I like the insert version better than the one that you and I were standing next to. It looked better.
Wait, look at that. I've learned a lot of new things from your research there. Yeah, I had no clue that that was two different sets at all, but now I know. Thank you. Yeah.
And by the way, the set that we were standing on is basically ground level. Like it might have been you know, 6-8 inches off the ground, but that Correct. Pool that we stood next to was not deep enough for you to get into.
No.
So they had to build an elevated set piece
right.
that they could actually have a double come out of.
Out of, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So now when you're pulling me out and then my suit gets compromised, this is the story that I have told at conventions.
Oh, they really, the writers really talk about like getting in shape.
They do, but this is not how I remembered it. The lines are completely different. And herein lies the fallacy of memory. Once again, that we've talked mm-hmm. about this in the past. Every time I've told this story on a convention stage, I've always said my suit gets compromised. And I'm losing life support. So Tom says, let me get you back to the shuttle. And uh-huh. as this happening, your suit gets compromised. And so we're both struggling. And all I remember from this episode was you say something to the effect like, if we make it back to the shuttle alive, promise me one thing, Harry. And I'm like, what's that? And then Tom says, promise me you'll work out. So this is my memory of how it is, but the actual lines are the actual lines. Tom goes, after he puts Harry on his shoulder, Tom says, have you put on weight? And then Harry answers, you're just out of shape. So I say to you, you're just out of shape, right? And then Tom says, I'll make you a deal. You hold your breath till we get back to the shuttle. And I promise I'll start exercising every day. And then Harry says, maybe you should start with the bicycle, which is a reference to the bicycle that you mentioned on the bridge. And Tom says, I thought I told you to hold your breath. That's when Harry is passed out on the ground. And then a few more moments later, Tom kind of gets to the ground and says, you're right. I definitely need to get back in shape. So it was a razz on you and myself.
Yeah, it was a razz on both of us. And it went on for a while, like getting in shape.
It did, yes. But my goodness, I mean, to have this in the script and for us to be put on notice. We got the girdles in our trailer at the time. And to be honest, I don't know, Robbie, I put it on a couple of days, but it was so restrictive that I said, screw it. I threw it. I didn't put it on. And every time camera was on, I sucked in my belly. Every time I was like, I'm going to just suck it in. I'm not even going to use the girdle. So that's what I did in season 4.
I love the girdle. I'll take the girdle anytime.
But I did go to the gym. I went to the gym like crazy and I was just, you know, doing cardio. Did you go to the gym? Yes.
Yeah, I went on and off, you know.
All right.
I was up and down on the show for sure. Yeah. You know, it was a constant struggle. And depending on where I was at, I definitely got into cycling, spinning classes and cycling. And I was training with a cycling, I can't remember what season. I feel like it was later. It was like season 5, 6, or even 7.
Yeah.
Because I remember after, in terms of fitness and things like that, after Voyager finished and I was directing a lot back in North Carolina, I used to crate up my bicycle and I take it out there with me. And I do a lot of cycling out in North Carolina. I take my bike. Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
So I definitely got obsessed with cycling. And I was on and off of cycling for years. Still am. I love the mountain bike.
Yeah.
When I was producing Chuck, I started a mountain biking group with some of our crew. And
well, you told me, do you remember you told me this? You said, yeah, sometimes I bike from my house to Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I said, excuse me?
Oh, yeah, it was a long ride. Chuck. Yeah, and I used to keep a bike for on and off in my office at Warner Brothers. And Chris Della Penna, who was our first AD on the show.
Yeah, Chris.
He was a big triathlon. Chris and I would go ride at lunch.
This script was the reason why I went to the gym.
Reading
this script, and I said, no, you're not going to make any cracks at me in any future episodes. It was just several weeks of just nonstop every day at the gym, before, after work. It didn't matter. I was just there.
Good for you, though. That's really good for you.
I knocked it off.
So we should do that. We should do that with a podcast. We should have a personal challenge right now. Both of us.
Let's get back to the
cardio, buddy. Let's do it.
You want to try that?
All right. This is, I'm planting a flag in the sand right here.
Okay.
Garrett and I are committed in this new year to cardio and healthier eating and exercise and getting in shape. Okay.
All right. We're going to do it.
Okay. So enough with the working out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah,
now we go to sick bay. It opens with a doctor going, out of the question.
Yes.
And Neelix has come in to sick bay to tell the doctor that they should sleep there. And he's kind of back by his office somewhere talking. And
yeah.
And the doctor, he's chasing the doctor back past the office. And yeah. The doctor's going, absolutely no way. And I thought, who are Neelix's friends hanging out with him in the background? Yeah.
Who are those people?
Who are those guys? I don't even know who they are.
All right.
The doctor is saying absolutely not. And then all of a sudden Chakotay comes to the office. And what I thought was, where did he come from? Like, you can see all the way into sick bay. And I know that the door is to the right. So how did he all of a sudden appear in the office and coming through?
He clearly beamed himself in.
Well, no, I went back and watched it a couple of times. Cause I'm like, where are they saying that?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. From? Yeah.
And I hear a door sound.
Right.
Like a moment before he appears.
Yeah.
But you don't see him the glass and come through.
Right.
So he was obviously waiting for a cue.
He was off camera.
and they just went to the door.
Yeah.
He stepped through, but it's impossible for him to have come in that way.
No, it doesn't make sense. No. Good eye. Look at you catching this and that.
Yeah. He's coming from like the surgical bay side of things, but the door's on the other side. So.
Right. Right.
It was a big cheat.
And in my notes, this is where I write, now the scene turns into the butt scene, meaning the doctor says butt probably 57 times at this point, because he's now talking to Chakotay, and Chakotay is saying,
like, let him do it.
He's siding with Neelix, right?
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, absolutely. But this is where I reside. But what if someone snores while I'm trying to listen to Puccini? But I'm a night person. I'm a night owl. And he's going through all this stuff. And then Chakotay says that after the Puccini line, Chakotay says, well, maybe we should consider other options. The doctor feels like he's won. He turns to Neelix and has this really huge grin, like, ha ha. Look, it reminded me of two kids, you know, arguing with their parent in front of the parent. And then Chakotay says, like, no, the other option would be turning your program off, shutting you off entirely until you're needed. And the doctor realizes he's lost. And and he's like, okay, fine. You know, make yourself comfortable, and just grinning through his teeth. He's not happy about it at all.
Funny scene. Neelix, it was a very funny scene. So Neelix and his mystery friends are going to be sleeping in sick bay.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
So we go to the bridge and they can't find Tom and Harry. Janeway asks if they found them. Nope.
They're not back yet. Nope.
No sign of them. They're not back. And then Janeway suggests landing the ship on the planet, that they really need this deuterium. And I'm like, wait a minute. She didn't suggest landing the ship to go save Tom and Harry. She's like, no, we need to land the ship because we need deuterium. They've forgotten about Tom and Harry.
Deuterium. Exactly. Yes. What's more important, deuterium or Tom and Harry? Deuterium. And
so let's land the ship. So Chakotay takes the con.
He's sitting at your chair. Were you upset by that?
I was a little bit.
Yeah, I know you were.
And then he goes, well, Tom's going to be sorry he missed this one.
Right.
And they go to code blue, our landing code, and they start to land the ship. And I'm like, I thought Tom was really needed for this kind of stuff. Clearly, Chakotay can land the ship.
With that same notes, because when you landed that ship in basics, it was a part big one, deal. It was a huge deal. And then Chakotay gets down there. First of all, when he swings your chair around, he did it as if he's done it a million times. Like he knows it like the back of his hand, and he lands it no problem. And I did write down, boy, this really does not give credit to how difficult this was before that Tom pulled this thing off, and it was amazing. And now Chakotay in his sleep pulls it off nothing.
Oh, and on an M-class planet. I mean, on a Y-class planet. On a demon planet, he does it quicker and faster and easier. No drama.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? I don't even think Ken Biller was with us back then when you landed the ship. So maybe Ken didn't really do his research.
I think Ken was there from the beginning. He was just he was a story editor in the very beginning.
Oh,
maybe he just writer.
Didn't remember. Okay.
But, yeah. Then Janeway comes down, puts her hand on his shoulder, kind of caresses his shoulder.
Yeah.
Does a
little JC moment.
Yeah. Repair crews should get started. And
good job.
Great job, Chakotay. The looks between them with the shoulder caress was a lot.
Yes.
And then she takes the con. She says to Chakotay, take an away team and try to go find Tom and Harry, I think, here. Yeah. But then he leaves. And then she takes the con. So I guess anybody can fly the ship
at this point. Yeah. There's no need for Tom anymore.
No.
We're in the corridor and Torres is approaching Chakotay about joining this away team. Mm-hmm. And Chakotay's not having it. He's like, no. And she's like, but I need to be there. Heads. Do you understand? Yeah. Cause she goes, do you understand what it is when someone you love is in danger, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, and he's that like, that was look. Sweet.
It was sweet of her. Definitely that she wanted to be there for you, but Chakotay wants cool heads. So that's when she volunteers 7 of 9 because nobody's head is cooler than hers.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. She's ice. She's like the Iceman.
She is the Iceman.
The Icewoman.
And I loved B'Elanna's line when just as Chakotay starts to go into the cargo bay to get suited up.
Yeah.
And she says, bring them back safe.
Yes,
she does. It's a very sweet moment.
It is a sweet moment.
He kind of smiles.
So now we're in sick bay and the doctor is acting like a petulant child. I mean, he's
humming
opera,
making noise. And Neelix is like, what are you doing? I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
And the doctor just keeps teasing him. And like, so Neelix decides, oh, okay, well, if I'm not going to sleep,
right,
then maybe we should have a sing along. He starts to sing at one point. He talks about we can sing, Klingon. Some Klingon
funeral dirge.
Song.
Yeah, yes, that's what they say.
Klingon funeral dirge.
Funeral dirge.
And then Ethan Phillips starts to sing.
Which is so funny.
So funny. It's bizarre singing that starts to happen. And the doctor's like, no. You win.
Yeah.
Lights off.
And being a computer program, it just bugs me that why would he be acting so petulant and so this is beneath him. This is not something that the doctor should be doing. So I have a little I take a little pause here and I will say that it does bother me that the writers wrote him this way as a petulant child. I know that it was more for comedic effect to show how funny this can be, but I think for as advanced of a program that he is, he shouldn't be acting petty. You know, I just don't get it. I don't see it.
I don't know. I think to me that just all fits the character, and this program is developing. And I think the dry version of like a Data version just would have been a repeat of that. I think Bob and the writers really carved out a unique and a different kind of character than we had on the show. It never bothered me.
All right.
That never bothered me. It felt very much in character with
him. We can agree to disagree on this one. All right. Planet surface.
Planet surface. Yes. Seven and Chakotay are walking along the surface. Again, that red backdrop is super cool. They find the shuttle. First thing is they find the shuttle.
Yeah.
And Seven says, well, they couldn't have survived this long. You know, she's basically saying they've got to be dead.
Yeah.
And Chakotay wants to keep looking this way. And he drops down, he sees footprints, and he says they must have come this way. So
because Seven says, how did you, my sensors show nothing, And that's when he says, right. Well, I guess you never assimilated any Indian scouts. So there you go. There was a little Akuchimoya joke there. Uh-huh. But my note here is, I wrote down, are there only two environmental suits? Because you only... Because you see Harry and Tom in the suits. Then you just see, you know, Chakotay and Seven in them. Right. You never see like seven people or eight people wearing environmental suits walking around.
They were expensive, like, those suits.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah. All right. Seven begins to collect a sample and Chakotay mm-hmm. stops her. He's like, no, wait. Let's go find Tom and Harry first.
By the way, when she starts collecting the samples, it's the first time I noticed that the rock walls in our caves were kind of translucent and they had put some light behind them. So it was glowing kind of red, which I thought was super cool. It was a really cool way to distinguish this planet and kind of the energy of this planet, that it's almost alive in a way. It's different than our usual planets. That we go to. But Chakotay wants to go find Tom and Harry first.
Yeah.
So I decided I like Chakotay better right now because Seven wanted to abandon us and Chakotay wanted to find us. So my favorite right now.
Yes. And Chakotay takes a step towards heading to where Tom, hopefully to find Tom and Harry, and he slips or something gives way.
Like it breaks. There's a tight shot of his foot, you know, a piece of the rock wall kind of crumbling underneath.
Yep.
And he starts to fall down into this deep chasm and he grabs that ledge and Seven grabs him.
Yep.
She's struggling to pull him back up.
And then
someone steps in.
A human hand comes in and pulls Chakotay up to safety. And lo and behold, it's Thomas Eugene Paris.
It's Tom Paris in his Starfleet uniform, no environmental suit.
Yeah.
He's standing there and feeling great.
Yeah. Like nothing has gone wrong.
Like he just did a bunch of cardio.
Yes.
Is what he looked like.
Like he'd been on a bike for a while.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
He's fabulous. Happy,
energized, happy. Feeling good. It was a shocking moment.
Right. We go to commercial break. We come back. We're still on the planet surface. And Tom is talking about how great he feels, how wonderful everything is. And I wrote down Tom's voice or Robbie's voice sounds different here. Did you notice that at all? I mean, it just sounded different to me. And I don't know if
maybe it was just playing the energy of like the kind of manic energy. I wrote down Paris is manic here. So he was
definitely.
It was definitely like
that's why it sounds different.
Life.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, when we come back from the commercial, the first planet shot, I did a little research here as well.
Yeah.
Dan Curry and Ron Moore, VisFX, Ron Moore, put together this planet, all the planet shots and the ship shots with shots from Lone Pine. When we had gone to Lone Pine, they took a bunch of photos that they had kept and they used those photos, removed all the tumbleweeds and all of that stuff so that it didn't look like Lone Pine anymore.
Okay.
And they even composited some photos that they had taken from the pilot when we were out at the dry lake bed. This planet was created from their files, but mostly Lone Pine is what they used. Yeah.
So these are repurposed shots that they took early, way like years ago, basically. Mm-hmm. And then they reuse them for this one. Mm-hmm. Nice. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess your manic voice made me wonder, did you, you know, what's going on here? Because it seemed like completely, it wasn't even your voice. And now I know. Mm. Tom Paris is typically never manic. So when you played manic, which is maybe the first time you've ever been series.
More youthful. It was like he was reborn. Well, literally.
It sounded like you just taken a hit of oxygen and you're like, hey, here I am. So, yeah.
I love Tom's line when he's explaining it all to him. Do you know what they say about your life passing before your eyes? Well, it's true. I was finally getting past puberty when suddenly I lost consciousness. I love that.
It's a good
little
line.
Joke there in the middle. It's life passing, and I was finally getting past puberty. Finally. and he passed out, woke up, and he was breathing normally. And apparently,
like it was nothing.
Yeah. And Seven says apparently he has adapted to this environment.
Yeah.
And Tom's like, take your helmets off, guys. It's going to feel great.
Chakotay knows better. Chakotay is like, Chakotay is just, he's such a, I mean, he's so deadpan that he's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep this stuff on, have fun. And at this point, this dichotomy between Chakotay being on the mission and Tom being so like, I love everything. I'm in love with this planet and this air. Yeah. And it's creepy because now you're wondering what is going on? Like, why is he able to do this? So as an audience member, you're unsettled and you're unnerved by this scene, I feel, because I was watching this going, what is happening? So Tom is basically telling Chakotay that he and Harry have found this huge cache of deuterium. Let's go find this deuterium. Let me show you where it's at. So now we jump to engineering, and Vorik is reporting to Torres saying that the transporter should be back online within the hour. And Torres says, well, more importantly, our life support, we've got to work on that. And Vorik says, oh yes, environmental systems will cease to function in 2 hours, meaning we're toast in 2 hours from now. And he mentions, well, you know, I'm not going to lose my cool. And then Torres stops him. Like, where'd you hear? Why are you saying
she
that?
She goes, losing your cool.
Losing
where
your
did
cool.
you pick up that expression?
Yeah. Where?
From who? Goes, Mr. Paris.
Mr. Paris.
And then B'Elanna's reaction is, well, there's hope for you yet, Vork. Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
That was like a nice line. It was a nice line.
Vork's loosening up a little.
Only thing that I was missing from Torres was the concern. I still wanted to see a little concern on her face about the fact that Tom might be dead, right? I mean, she doesn't know what's going on with Tom and Harry, right? So that's the only thing. But it was cute that it was a Paris line that he was repeating.
Yeah, right? Vork was trying to be a little like Tom Paris.
Yeah, especially after trying to kill you in Blood Fever.
Exactly.
And now,
putting all that behind.
Put it behind. Yeah, it's all in the past now. They squashed it. Good.
All right, so we go back down to the caves, and Chakotay and Seven do find Harry, and Harry is manic too. He's super enthusiastic.
Oh, God. Harry, you know, he's so like, oh, this is wonderful. Yeah. And Harry, I'm fine, and I want to stay. I don't want to go anywhere. You know, this is a wonderful place. Chakotay disagrees. He wants both Tom and Harry to be checked out by the doctor. He says, you guys, you guys got to go to sick bay. This is ridiculous.
And they have found, and Harry says he has found 20 kilos of deuterium.
Yes.
So far.
Yes. Which is a lot.
So it's a lot. So we go back to the bridge, and I think it's the bridge. I wrote down, maybe it's the bridge. It's so dark. I don't know where we are, but it was the bridge.
It's not Club Tuvok. It's Club Bridge now.
Really dark. I think was a little too dark personally because I couldn't see Janeway's face. I couldn't make out Tuvok. It was really dark.
Right.
But things are dire. Chakotay calls, they've got the deuterium, transporters are coming back online, they're going to beam them up. And then we cut to sick bay, and the doctor's storming in and turning on lights. He says,
checkout time.
Checkout time. Computer, turn lights to maximum illumination. He says, is like, what's going on? And you think they're going to get back into the fight, and the doctor says, Tom and Harry are being beamed in. You know, we need to check them out.
We need the beds.
We need the beds. And Neelix turns on a dime and he's like, move. He's yelling at everybody. Get him out of there. And he thanks the doctor and he says, if you ever need a place, my doors are always open for you, Doc.
Which makes the doctor feel bad, which this is the only redeeming part of this scene, because like I said before, I did not like the doctor being so petty and rude, and he's still being rude here. But the fact that Neelix is still open armed with him, he's fighting.
He learns a lesson about
he uses love,
more sympathetic.
Yes, he uses love and empathy. Through. Love breaks through to the crabbiness of the doctor's crappy bedside personality and rudeness.
It was super sweet.
And it really kind of changed everything for the doctor too.
Yeah.
All right. Transporter room. Janeway is now in the transporter room. She's actually doing the actual beaming. She never does that. She beams the away team back, and Harry and Tom are on the front part of the transporter pad, and we have Seven and Chakotay in the back in their environmental suits. And the minute they materialize, Harry and Tom start gasping for air to the point that they fall down. They're choking. They collapse down.
It was
down.
A little dramatic.
A little.
I feel like you and I were a little on the dramatic side with this.
I don't think it was enough. I think we should have went even more. I'm kidding. It was dramatic.
It was pretty dramatic.
It was way as dramatic.
Janeway's like, be there to sick bay. Because they're so dramatic. They're being so dramatic.
Two dramatic actors to sick bay now. So now we're in sick bay. The doctor figures it out. He erects a level 7 force field around Tom and Harry and fills the area with atmospheric gases from the planet. Thank you, doctor. They are able to breathe.
We can breathe. We can breathe that poison gas. This is weird.
It's just so weird.
The doctor explains that they've been bioformed. It's kind of like terraforming.
Right.
Like how we adapt a planet to suit our needs.
Yeah.
Our bodies have adapted to suit the planets.
Yes, the bioforming. And, you know, that concept of terraforming, we understand that in Star Trek, definitely. And now he's just saying that the planet has adapted us to the planet, which seems a little far-fetched, actually, when I think about that. It's just like, really? Is that really what happened?
I'm all in on this. I like this.
Before he talks about the bioform, there is that one exterior shot of the planet surface with Voyager landed, and then you hear a captain's log supplemental, and she says, the doctor continues to investigate Tom and Harry, whose condition seems as serious as it is strange, is what she says. Serious as history. And this is when we learned about the bioforming, saying the fluid entered the bloodstream somehow, and it began altering the physiology of Tom and Harry at the cellular level. And this is why we are now able to breathe these poisonous gases. And then he says, either we find a way to treat your condition or we'll have to leave you behind. And if we're like, what? Leave us behind?
What the what?
What the what what? Yeah, we're a little shocked by that. Yeah. Now we go to commercial break, come back. We're still in sick bay. Janeway says, can the bioforming process be reversed? Janeway says, we're going to send Chakotay and Seven back down to the planet surface to collect more information to try to help Tom and Harry. Harry suggests, hey, why don't I go down? I know that place like the back of my palm, like the back of my hand.
Yeah,
like
I'll go back down there and Tom can stay here and be the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted
why
you
don't tease your buddies in the opening scene.
I wanted your mouth to drop open like you did in the briefing room, but you didn't do it. But it's still, you were like, huh? Okay. So I volunteer you again to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And I go down. We're on the planet surface. Seven is talking about how unappealing this planet is.
She says it's monochromatic dust is all she sees.
Oh my gosh.
And then Harry's like, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's
a dozen shades of red and gold. Yeah. And he gets real poetic in all this description of what he's seeing. And he feels connected to this planet.
Yeah.
So we're definitely realizing
he's high on the planet is what
he is. He's connected. Yeah. It's like he's part of this planet.
Yeah.
And then Chakotay and Seven say that they are picking up humanoid life signs close by.
Yeah.
What?
So now we're wondering, who could this be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't know.
Back to this. It looks like the science lab is next.
They're in the science lab. Yeah.
B'Elanna and Janeway are there analyzing this fluid with a microscope kind of tool.
Yeah.
So they've got sort of these microscope type slides with the liquid on it. And
They realize it's organic. I'm like, wait a minute. This fluid isn't just fluid. There's properties to it that makes this an organic.
They find a protein molecule in there. So they're like, this is organic. Yes. Organic properties.
Mm-hmm.
B'Elanna goes to pick up this slide that has a small sample of the fluid on it. And this kind of mercury-like fluid goes up and gets on her thumb, rolls up on her thumb.
It moves onto her thumb.
And Janeway's like, we need to get you to
sick bay.
And she goes, maybe not. And she lowers her thumb, puts the slide back down, and it rolls off of her thumb and back onto the slide. And then a moment later, when she pulls her hand away, the liquid starts to turn into
her finger. Yeah,
into her thumb on the slide.
So creepy.
So creepy.
Mm-hmm. It'd be creepy, creepy. So now we're back on the planet's surface, and they are following the life signs that were detected on the tricorder, on Seven's tricorder. Harry's in the lead. He's at point, and you know there's a tight shot on Harry's face, and he's freaked out, and he's like, Commander, and then they reveal it is Tom and Harry in their environmental suits, passed out, face down, exactly where we left them from the earlier scene. And it's a freaky realization.
Yeah.
This is
it was very freaky. There's Tom and Harry's environmental suits. So who is Harry? Who is this Harry? Who's fake Harry?
Right.
We're going to need to start calling them fake Harry and fake Tom.
Fake Harry and fake Tom. Exactly. But or duplicate Harry, duplicate Tom.
Yeah.
Okay.
We cut out to the surface and we see the ship. But there's this pool of that metallic compound liquid underneath the whole ship. And we realize the ship is starting to sink. Like the planet itself is kind of swallowing up and trying to absorb this ship.
Right. Janeway, Tuvok is on the bridge and he's telling the captain, because they can feel the ship, there's something's
the
happening,
ship is right? shaking. Yeah, it's yeah. moving.
Yeah, she's still in the science lab with Torres, mm-hmm. and Janeway says, "Look, we got to leave. We got to get out of here." We jump back to the planet's surface. Harry does not want to go, and Janeway calls down and says, "Okay, we got to beam you up. We're going to do this wide scattered, you know, beam to beam mm-hmm. all of you up." And Harry's like, "Nope, I'm not doing this," and he runs away from the beam up, and only four are beamed up. Harry's not there. We're back on the bridge and the ship is continuing to sink. We are unable to take off. Janeway is trying.
I love Janeway's line here when, you know, Harry's run off.
Yeah.
And Janeway has a line where she says, "You know what? We'll worry about Harry or whoever he is.
Whoever he is.
We're up. Whoever he is once we're up." So she's like, yeah, she doesn't like duplicate Harry.
No, already. She doesn't. She doesn't like duplicate anything, but especially not duplicate Harry. Janeway calls the engineering, says, "Look, I need thrusters online now." Vorik says, "That's going to take half an hour." And of course, we're still sinking deeper and deeper into this quicksand of liquid.
And by the way, so Janeway was going to pilot a ship off the planet. So again, Chakotay can fly it. Janeway can fly.
Yeah.
I guess they don't ever need Tom Paris. Ever again.
He'll I guess just your go. Job is just to be a nurse now, dude. You're going to be Nurse Paris, so. Unfortunately. So. Yeah, how dare they? Sick bay. Doctor treats real Harry and real Tom. Janeway tells the doctor that the fluid has mimetic properties. It can mime or mimic whatever it touches. Tuvok hails Janeway and says that they are ready to try the Nadion burst, which they do. And immediately it affects Duplicate Tom. And Duplicate Tom is like,
He goes, "What are you doing?"
Die! He
doubles over in pain.
Painful.
And then
painful.
And Duplicate Harry
hails
calls Janeway from the surface and begs her to stop.
Stop.
And and Janeway says she, you know, needs more information.
Right.
And he goes, "I don't know anything. I've only got this feeling, you know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on." She orders fake Harry to beam aboard and help her figure this out. And so they beam him aboard inside. They've also set up a containment field around so he can breathe.
That's right.
Harry beams into transporter room and Janeway's like, "You've got to release the ship." And then Harry says, "We can't do that."
Yeah.
We? Well, she's what like, the we?
I don't remember the scene at all. I'm like, what scene is this? It's all Harry and Janeway. And here I am on the transporter pad saying we, talking about the silver blood, experienced awareness for the very first time through the duplication of Tom and Harry. And this is what gave it, you know, awareness, essentially.
The silver blood is alive.
It's alive.
Experiencing sentient, awareness. And the silver blood, they want to duplicate the entire Voyager crew, basically. They want to. Janeway says, "You want to populate this planet. You want to duplicate the crew and populate this planet."
Yeah, the argument is Janeway wants the silver blood to release Voyager because it's not. It's sinking further and further, right?
Yeah.
And so Janeway comes up with the compromise. She's like, "Look, if you release us, what if I..."
You don't need the body.
You don't need us. You can duplicate. You don't need us and the ship. You can duplicate the bodies by just having the DNA. So let me
DNA samples. That's it.
Let me talk to the crew, see if they're willing. Because if that's the case, you can duplicate the rest of us. And then boom, you have an entire crew that can remain on the planet.
Populate your planet.
That'll populate the planet.
Begin. Yes.
Yes.
And you can have our DNA. Go ahead. Yeah. Janeway says, "Assemble the crew in Cargo Bay 1. And then she's got a line in here where she says, "It's time to meet your new family."
Yeah.
It was Harry, like,
okay. So then we're on the bridge. Voyager takes off. Exterior shot of the planet surface with Voyager taking off. And all the duplicated crew are milling around, just standing around on the planet, on the prairie. And they're just hanging out.
On the prairie.
The prairie, and Voyager
the
takes
demon
off.
Prairie.
Yeah. And that's the end of it.
Yeah. And so we leave behind an entire duplicate crew.
My goodness.
Of Voyager, which is kind of creepy.
It's super creepy.
And by the way, so they duplicate the entire crew. What about the doctor? They can't duplicate the doctor. And so he's left behind. I mean, sorry, they're left behind. they're left behind without a doctor. A doctor is my point. Yes. So I guess Paris is going to have to become the doctor. Duplicate Paris is going to. Yeah,
it's good enough. He has the knowledge. He's good enough.
He's good enough. He'll take care of him. Okay.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
What was your theme?
My theme for this, wrote down.
Yeah.
Don't give your friends shit because there's consequences. Don't tease your friends, people, because there will be consequences. Okay. It may just seem like silly little banter to you when you tease your friends, but you may end up on a demon planet.
So really, you need to qualify that. You need to say, don't tease your friends if you happen to be crew members on a Starfleet vessel, is what you're
saying. That's
I got you. That makes perfect sense. My lesson was stay away from Y-class planets.
Yes.
Is what I said. And then I said a side lesson was live and let live, which is what Janeway did at the very end. Mm-hmm. Right? Sort of like, hey, people want to do this and get duplicated. Go ahead. Let them do their thing. You know,
I like it.
Yeah, just let this silver liquid blood live. And that's what she did. She didn't attack it or blow it out of the, you know, she didn't send, she didn't phaser it, shoot photon torpedoes at it. She just let him live. So
live and let live.
There you go.
Okay. Like it.
All righty. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to listen to Robbie and I banter on about this episode that.
This was a fun episode. I can't believe I did not remember any of this. I only had vague memories as we watched it. So it was really fun to watch. I enjoyed it.
It was. Me too. Join us next week when Robbie and I will review, discuss, and banter about the episode one. One is the episode that we will be talking about next week.
Then.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Patreon patrons, join us for your bonus material. See you next week, everyone.
See you next week, everybody. Bye.